Eddie Hyatt here. This is the Awakening Podcast. Our theme this week is how Jesus healed. And we've looked at, and we're looking at, his motive, his method, and his message. We've determined that his motive was compassion. Jesus healed out of compassion. And thank God he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same compassionate, healing Jesus that he has always been. And he wants to express himself, his compassion, his healing power through his people. Jesus left a healing ministry with his church. He expected his people to carry on his healing ministry. And we see in the book of Acts that they did, that healing was such a very prominent part of their preaching and their teaching and their healing and their evangelism. Now, here's a concern of mine for the church today, that the church today, Pentecostals and Charismatics, have professionalized the healing ministry. They have made it the province of healing evangelists. And people think they have to go to some healing evangelist to a meeting or whatever to receive healing. And many people do receive healing. I'm not totally knocking that, but the problem is that Jesus meant for his healing ministry to be carried on through his body, through all of his people. Whether you are a lawyer, a school teacher, a laborer, a janitor, whatever you might be, you can minister the healing power of Jesus Christ. And Jesus never meant for the healing ministry to be professionalized and to be mechanized and to be made into an assembly line approach, a formulaic approach, where we're just going to give you a formula for healing, and if you do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there, you no. As we have already learned, Jesus dealt with each person personally, individually. He met them where they were, and that's what has got to happen in the body of Christ today if we're going to see the kind of healings that we read about in the New Testament. So we have looked at his motive, which was compassion. We've looked at his method, which he didn't have a method. He was led by the Holy Spirit. Luke says he came out of the wilderness in the power. In other words, not in his own power, not in his own strength, but in the power or under the discipline of the Holy Spirit. And so, led by the Holy Spirit, Jesus, who was God incarnate, he was God come in human flesh, and he was a real human being. Hebrews says he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And in his humanity, he was totally reliant on the Holy Spirit and gave us an example of how we are to live and how we are to minister. And so we must develop, if we want to minister healing like Jesus, we must nurture a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. And we must make a commitment to be led by the Holy Spirit, not just going out and try to work our own formulas and schemes and assembly line approaches. Let's nurture a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and a commitment to be led by Him, and we will see amazing things happen by the Spirit of God. So his method, he didn't have a method. He dealt with each person individually. And led by the Holy Spirit and approached them where they were in their faith and in their relationship with God. But today we're going to close out this series by talking about his message. And we're going to turn to Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 16. And this story is set at the very beginning of his ministry. Just before this, he's been baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. And then he goes to the wilderness and he spends 40 days in fasting and prayer, tempted by the devil. And then verse 14 of Luke 4, Luke says that he comes out of the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he goes to the synagogue in Nazareth, where he was brought up. And it says in verse 16, and as his custom was, very interesting, Jesus obviously had a prominent role in the synagogue in Nazareth, because it says in verse 16, as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. This was his custom. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, now it wasn't a book like we think of a book today, it was a scroll. And he opened the scroll and found the place where it was written, which we know as Isaiah chapter 61. There were no chapters or verses at that time of the scriptures. And he opened the place that we know of Isaiah 61, and he began to read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Now this is the inauguration of his 3 years of earthly ministry. And he's letting the people know, this is where I am rooting my ministry, in Scripture, in this messianic prediction, this messianic promise, is where I am grounding my Scripture, my ministry. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me." Anointed means appointed. Includes the idea of empowerment for the role in which you have been appointed. "Because He has anointed, appointed, empowered me to preach the gospel to the poor." A poor is, in this passage, is not measured by how much money you have, but how much you realize your need for God. I believe it's Matthew 5:3 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And my paraphrase, translation of that, is, "Blessed are those who realize how much they need God." My friends, don't waste your time with people who are not poor. Don't waste your time with people who don't realize that they have a need. Go to the people who realize they have a need and who will eagerly drink in what you have to say. "He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." The word "preach" means to announce or herald. "To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Oh, so many brokenhearted people in the world today for so many reasons. But our Lord Jesus Christ was sent to heal the brokenhearted. Our Messiah has come for the brokenhearted. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim." And again, the word means to announce. To announce or proclaim liberty to the captives. Now, I want you to remember that statement right there, because we're going to refer to that in a moment, because it is very important. It's related to something. We're going to go back to the Old Testament in Leviticus, I think it's chapter 24, and I'm turning over to that right now. Actually, it's the Leviticus chapter 25, beginning at verse 8. "To set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord," or the favorable year of the Lord. Now, many biblical scholars believe that when Isaiah, inspired by the Spirit, wrote this messianic prophecy that Jesus is reading, because it's obviously referring to the coming Messiah, that he links it back to the year of Jubilee, to the Jubilee year that Israel celebrated and experienced every 50 years. Every 50 years, the economy of Israel was leveled out. All debts were canceled. If you had mortgaged your home and lost your home to a creditor, you were able to go back to your ancestral home. There were no bankruptcy laws, so if you owed a creditor you could not pay, he could legally force you into servitude. You were just like a slave until you worked off your debt. He could even take your children or members of your family if you were not able to work it off. But in the year of Jubilee, all debts were canceled, all slaves went free, and people who had lost their ancestral homes, their homes were restored, and they could return to their ancestral homes. It was an incredible time, especially for the poor and the oppressed and those who were crushed in life and the brokenhearted. Now, at the beginning of the year of Jubilee, and you can read about this in Luke chapter 25, beginning at verse 8, heralds were sent out. People were sent out to announce that the year of Jubilee had arrived, and they would go out through the land of Israel announcing that the year of Jubilee had arrived. that all debts were canceled. People in any kind of servitude could go free. And people, you know, they might be living in a little hut or in a cave or something because they'd got themselves in trouble and they'd lost their ancestral home. Hey, you can go back to your ancestral home. It is now restored to you. And it was a wonderful time, not only for the people, but for the, I'm sure, the people who had the privilege to go out and announce this good news to the poor and to the oppressed and to the needy. I'm sure that they derived great joy going and announcing this and seeing the faces of the people as they realize they're free, their debts are canceled, they can go back to their ancestral home. And so many scholars believe, and I am convinced of this as well, that Isaiah linked the coming of the Messiah to this year of Jubilee that was celebrated every 50 years in Israel, and that Jesus purposely chose this Jubilee passage that is also a messianic promise. He was saying, what you have been celebrating for centuries is a mere type and shadow. But now the reality has arrived. And now I, your Messiah, I am ushering in God's Jubilee for humanity, where God, through my ministry, through my sacrifice, through, now he doesn't say all of this, but this is involved in it. But through his death and resurrection, through the suffering Messiah, his resurrection and ascension on high, he is going to usher in a year of Jubilee by being the substitute, the sin substitute for humanity. God now is going to open wide the doors. It's going to be his time of grace, his time of favor, his time of Jubilee for all who will turn to God in true repentance and put their faith in the Messiah. God is going to grant them amnesty. He's going to forgive all of their sins, and he's going to welcome them into his kingdom, and he is going to begin to restore the process of restoring all that was lost to us when our first parents sinned and rebelled against God and opened the door to death, to sickness, disease, to demons and the devil, and all sorts of every kind of ill that mankind has suffered. And so Jesus inaugurated the real Jubilee, of which that Old Testament Jubilee was just a type and a shadow. And it was a message. So this was his message, that God's Jubilee had arrived. This is the acceptable. I have come to proclaim and announce the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of the Lord's favor. God's real Jubilee is now beginning. Hallelujah. Now this message becomes more clear as time goes on. And Jesus went throughout all Galilee. Let's read that passage we read earlier, I think, in Matthew chapter 4. I think we may have read it in our first episode on this. But listen to this. Then Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom, the good news that God's Jubilee had arrived, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And notice that healing's a part of this, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. We have noted that Jesus, every time he sent his disciples out to preach, he also commissioned them to heal the sick. And we see as we read the book of Acts how the healing ministry of Jesus was carried on in the early church by those earliest disciples. And it is his will that his healing ministry be carried on today, centered in him, not in us, but centered in him, himself. And so we have the same message, a message of freedom and forgiveness, that this is the year of God's grace. This is the year, the time, not a 12-month year, but a year. Often in the Bible, like this passage here, it's not talking about a 12-month period, it's a year, but it's talking about a period of time that is not clearly delineated, but this period of time we're living in now of God's grace and God's favor, where God is welcoming people to come because of what our Messiah, our Savior Jesus has done, and to come and freely be forgiven, be set free, and He will begin the work of healing your broken hearts, restoring everything that has been lost because of sin, and restoring you and healing you and making you whole. Now, this is the message we have to preach. As time went along and then Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, ascended on high, and then poured out the Holy Spirit, the message became more clear. A message centered in Jesus Christ, but a message of forgiveness, a message of freedom that God freely offers to all who will come in true repentance and put their faith in Jesus Christ. No, we do not preach universalism. Universalism is a terrible, I believe, a demonic doctrine that says that the sacrifice of Jesus, His shed blood, is automatically applied to the whole human race and everybody's not going to be saved. The Bible does not teach that. But the Bible does say that God is freely offering His grace and forgiveness to all who will come to Him in true repentance and put their faith in Jesus Christ. God forgives them and welcomes them into His kingdom and begins the work of healing and restoring all that sin has destroyed and all that has been lost because of our rebellion against God. Oh, what a wonderful message we have to offer this world. It is truly good news. And I'll close with an illustration that I read or heard many years ago. At the end of the Civil War, some months before this, Abraham Lincoln had issued the Emancipation Proclamation declaring that slavery no longer exists in America and that all slaves can consider themselves to be free. And then the South surrendered. Robert E. Lee surrendered. And the war was over. And so a Union colonel who had been assigned to the South, he was riding home to the North, and he was passing through some of the southern region. And he came across a plantation where they had not heard any of this news. Hey, they didn't have emails and cell phones and so on. The news had not reached them, and the slaves were working in the fields, and they had a master who was not a nice person, and he was on a horse riding up and down, making sure they were at their labors. And this Union colonel came along, and he had some good news. And he began to ride up and down the rows and throughout the field, and announcing that the great president, Abraham Lincoln, in Washington, D.C., had proclaimed that slavery no longer exists in America and all slaves are free and that the war was over. The Union had won and it was all over and they were free people. According to the story, the slaves began to dance and sing and shout and toss their hats in the air. What a wonderful message. What good news it was that they heard that day. And you see, we have a similar type of good news. Oh, the people out there in the world under the condemnation of sin, they don't even know it. Oh, may God open their eyes. People under God's judgment because of their rebellion and their sins. And yet God, through the Messiah Jesus Christ and all that He has done, He is offering amnesty to all the human race, to whosoever will, let him come. And for whosoever will come to God, turn to God in true repentance, and put their faith in Jesus Christ, God wipes out, He forgives all their sins, and begins the process of totally restoring them and healing of all that sin has wreaked up on them. What a wonderful message. This message of the good news of Jesus Christ, and God wants to heal people and make them whole. And as we come to Jesus and as we proclaim this message, and healing is a part of this message because it's part of what was lost in the fall. It's a part of our ancestral heritage where God is restoring to us through Jesus Christ everything that was lost in the fall and in sin and the rebellion of our first parents. So let us proclaim this message. Let us proclaim this good news to this generation and offer them the wonderful good news that Jesus has given us to offer. This is Eddie Hyatt. We've been talking about how Jesus healed. We talked about his motive, his method, and we've been talking today about his message. Oh, his message is our message. It is a message of forgiveness and freedom that is centered in Jesus himself and what he has done for all humanity. I'm Eddie Hyatt. I hope you'll check out my website, eddiehyatt.com. Friend me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and check out my books on Amazon, and I know they'll be a great blessing to you. God bless you. We'll see you next time on the Awakening Podcast.